This is the most important law you've never heard of. If it passes this week, and it might, you will have to upload your ID to use the internet. Not just adult sites, everything. They're selling it as protecting kids, and tonight we're going to show you what it actually does. This is Axis of Easy.
It's time for the Axis of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Okay, we got a nice new, I mean, this show has become every week now. They're using kids as a veil to ID me and you and everyone else, our brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, priests, deacons, mechanics. What can we say? The times are, you know, maybe they're not changing anymore. Maybe the new times have arrived, right? What do you think?
Yeah. It seems to be like a effort by governments everywhere to achieve the same thing. It seems odd, isn't it?
That's one way to put it. Yeah, it's odd. Sure.
It's just... everything's happening at the same time, and it seems to be the same thing that's happening. I don't want to say there's a global government. I've never subscribed to that theory, but it just seems odd that everybody seems to be on board. All these Western nations seem to be on board with this same type of law that's got to be introduced. Well, that's introducing this Kids Act, for instance, but something that's, they got to shove it down our throats, right? And the idea that they're using children as the reason for this Kids Act, just the name alone, right? Kids, internet, and digital safety.
Yeah,
like
whatever. They're really trying to pull a fast one on you, for sure. Like, they're not stupid. They have a marketing team. They don't use it for everything, but they use it for the things that matter, it seems like.
And omnibus bills that just contain a whole bunch of other garbage in it that, well, whatever. The House of Representatives introduced this just very recently, back in March, and it's working its way through. And this thing is it's like the mother of all bills. This one, because it includes a lot of previously failed attempts to focus on children's online safety, and the stuff like CASA, COPPA 2.0, and crap like that. They're just taking the stuff that were included in those bills, in those bills that they introduced some time ago, but they failed on. They died on a vine, and just, they want to throw it in this Kids Act and this duty to care that they want to throw in there. And this is for these social media platforms. They have to deal with, they say, with bullying. They got to say that they would deal with violence, eating disorders, suicidal thoughts, substance abuse, all that stuff. And that's what they want to try to deal with. And so, okay, it's on the surface, it sounds nice, but... you know, they want to, one of the things they want to do from this is place limits on how companies deal with collecting data, right? They want to stop targeting ads for people under the age of 17. Again, like, on the surface, it sounds wonderful, right? Like, the problem that goes along with it is, how could they determine who's under 17 or under 18, sorry, and who's not? So who's an adult, who's a minor? And well, the only way to do so is you got to do some age verification, right? That's the only way to do it. And they want to do age verification for AI chatbots. They want to make it stricter for kids to use it and how they could interact with those tools. And given that this is the new way of doing things, and limiting how kids could use it could be detrimental to their future. And really, this is like a knee-jerk reaction, right? Like, they see something, let's try to fight it with legislation, right? It's just all reactionary. And they're using a few specific examples as a way, you know, look at this. This is why we're trying to fight it. Like the Facebook files, for instance, and they're saying that Facebook was aware of the negative mental health impacts on girls, on teen girls, and they did nothing about it. So they're using this as the example why we have to release a type of law to try to stop this from happening again in the future. Okay. And lawmakers are also talking about the depression rate amongst kids, about the problems that people go through. You know, who knows? I mean, you got trannies shooting up schools. You got suicide out there. They want to try to limit this stuff from happening. Okay, I get it, right? And there's also the addictive nature of these online platforms. People are addicted to scrolling. They want to keep up to date. They want to make sure that, they're next in line to be seen on TikTok, on Instagram, or wherever. Okay, and that isn't healthy. I get it. But the way they're trying to achieve this, it's with a heavy-handed approach. They are trying to define and address what is harmful content, and who it is going to be deciding what's harmful or not. You know, harmful to one person may just be information to somebody else. Could it be what we're talking about here on this show is harmful? What about what we talk about on the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast? Could that be considered? I don't know. I mean, somebody could make that determination. In reality, I mean, I'll make the argument it's not, and same with your argument, but then what about devices in our homes that are listening to us, phones, internet devices, crap like that, listening to those conversations? Could this impact that as well? Could that somehow be captured in all this? I don't know. Then you have the submission of IDs, right? They're going to have to figure out who's an adult, who's not. Who's going to host this information? Where's it going to be hosted? It's a honeypot for somebody to break into and get access to, or you might have a corrupt insider, and this is not fiction. We had this in France where a tax collector, somebody working for the tax office over in France, was selling data for who had Bitcoin to people who want to do $5 wrench attacks. So this stuff does happen. There's real world examples of this. Goodbye anonymous internet usage. Be ready for stricter rules out there. You're going to be governed what you're doing online, how you're doing it online. I don't know what's going to happen with this, though. Will the Senate block it? I'm trying to find to see how the Senate is going to be reactionary to this. I don't know. They may want to not push it, or maybe they will push it. I don't know. This seems to be bipartisan in the House, the Senate. I'm not sure, but let's see what happens.
The duty of care, sort of, you know, what are the responsibilities of the services is the craziest thing. That in the bill itself, as you mentioned, there is no requirement to ID all your users. But there is an expectation under penalty of law that you prevent certain things from happening to minors, certain content from being shown to minors. In the UK, I think Reddit has a problem over there because they're being asked to ID all their users now. And so certain communities, like a great example, the transgender Reddits, are basically locked down now. No one goes there, posts there, because Reddit doesn't want to run the risk of minors seeing that stuff when they're not supposed to and running into legal problems. That's one thing. There's a couple of wrinkles that we should talk about. One that I think is nice and you'll appreciate from Graphene. And then another one I want to talk about is this idea that maybe just the idea around what an American is supposed to use an ID for. Oftentimes, you know, this has bipartisan support, by the way. It passed 91-3, I think, in one vote. And then, you know, the committee voted along party lines, but I think those votes are more symbolic than anything. They know if and when something is going to pass based on the numbers in the room, obviously. So, you know, in America, there's been a number of elections contested, hotly contested elections over the last, let's say, decade or so, 2016, 2020, 24, where there's basically always accusations of fraud, ballot dumping, mail-in problems. And the Americans are split, I think, down the middle here, at least along party lines, about whether or not you should require ID to vote. And generally, you know, regardless of the pushes made for ID requirements, they don't require identification to vote in some states. They just refuse to do it in places like California, sometimes protected by the state's highest court. You know, we've seen these cases go the other way over the last few years. So no ID required for that. No ID required for social assistance in the U.S. You just get your social assistance without an ID in some states. Obviously, we're going through the Minnesotan fraud stories and other fraud stories from around the country. You know, I'll note that it's mostly left-wing states, but not all left-wing states. And so the places where you don't have this ID requirement to vote, you find the ID requirement disappears other places. But the interesting thing about this, I think, is that there are some huge percentage of vulnerable communities like the trans community, for example, who do not have identification that represents their personal identity, their new name, their new gender. Those people, not allowed on the internet without that. There's also minority communities where people don't have driver's licenses. There's some huge number of Americans don't have driver's licenses. And I think the number is over 2 million Americans have no government ID at all. None, zero, nothing with a photo on it. So those people are erased from the conversation. These are the same people that the Democratic Party will tell you shouldn't ever need an ID to cast a ballot or receive benefits, but now they're going to need one to go on Instagram, presumably. How's that going to play out? I'm not sure. I'll give you one way it could play out. Graphene seems to think they have a solution for this. And they want to do cryptographic age verification where all your information is stored with a key and that key is used to verify you against different services or when you're using different services and your name, ID, age, all that stuff that I am sure not only the services and the advertisers, but also the government wants to get about you and your comments online, they're not going to get it. Interesting from Graphene that they're going to try this in the States. I don't know if it's going to work out. Graphene, obviously a Canadian company too, a Canadian nonprofit. So we'll see how that plays out. But there are silver linings here. And I think the thing that is going to be the most frustrating for people who still have faith that this is about anything related to protecting kids is that all these good solutions, privacy-focused solutions that would undoubtedly be better are all going to be rejected. Every single one of them is going to be rejected. The Graphene one, others that people have come up with. When you tell the bouncer at the bar that they don't have to check IDs, no one's forcing you to check IDs. You can let anybody in. But if we catch anybody in there drinking underage, we're going to shut you down. You leave the bouncer no choice. You have to check everybody, no matter how many gray hairs you got, in my case. So this is directionally the same as a lot of stories we've talked about over the last little while. Obviously, the UK, Canada now doing the same thing. And then to see it in the States is a bit of a shock, I think. You know, I'd be curious, what do you think?
Well, this is incredible that it's happening in the US. But like I said at the top of the show, there seems to be a commonality amongst all these Western governments to try to achieve the same thing where they're trying to push for digital ID for all their services, for all services being rendered to their citizens. And given that everybody's using all these US-based products like Facebook, like X, YouTube, you name it, all these things that are just, they start from the United States, everybody's going to have to be subjected to this, right?
Yeah, it's not like, for sure.
So they're going to have the identity of everybody out there. Well, and there's no way to escape this, really, right?
No.
In order to use these services, it's going to be very difficult to not use these services. I mean, you could try to use like NewPipe, for instance, to use YouTube, but I still haven't found a good way really to get around X and to actually use it. I could scroll through it. I could go through people's feeds, but actually to use it in post, I have to use X, their software, and that's going to be subjected to ID verification. So where are we going, man? Like, whatever. This is the new normal. They want to know who we are, how we do it, and maybe
why do you think they want to know? Why? Like, we never really talk about why they want to know. Why do you think they want to know?
That's a good question. I didn't really put that much thought into it. I mean, I guess on the surface, it's more for control and more for if you're trying to talk about the people in there and put up an opinion that they don't like, be it right or wrong, it's a way for them to get access to that and to just basically shun it out. I'm guessing. I don't know. Maybe you have a better point of view on this.
That's exactly what I think. I think it's related to dissent.
That's too
bad. I think
bad.
If I look at the commentary under, I'll just speak for myself as a Canadian. When I look at the commentary, if I sort by likes as well, not even just by relevance or recency or popular. If I sort by likes, so the ones that have won out in the arena of ideas on Twitter under any government tweet, every single one is highly critical. And it's not just some guy tweeting, you know, F you, F that. Usually it's backed by data now. which I think is becoming a greater issue for sitting governments than ever before, that not only is the opinion countervailing or counter to the narrative the government's trying to push, but it's really supported by the numbers. A lot of different things like inflation, immigration, jobs, you name it. These are difficult things for governments to really get their hands around. I even look at here, the prime minister buying BC condos, right? He's now having to kind of, he's got egg on his face. He's trying to do these press conferences talking about the mechanics of the purchase and how it's going to help with affordable housing. But in the comments, there's one sharp mind after another with data, especially data visualizations like charts and graphs, easy for the common person to digest. It's hard to fix that. And so what you've seen typically over the last few years is very highly engaged with accounts claiming they're leaving the platform due to quote unquote hate. I'm thinking specifically of police departments, school boards, people who are pushing broadly unpalatable policies, whether it's, you know, cross-dresser story time, whatever the hell these guys are doing in some school boards, or whether it's, you know, we're doing Somalian Heritage Month or whatever, right? It could be anything. And those communities are easy to pick on because they're very hot button, but there are others as well. And the answer has just been to leave the platform. So the problem is, it's not, they don't want that. They actually don't want to leave the platforms. They just don't want to have to hear any countering views, any countervailing views. And this is one way to make sure the countervailing views, there's a calculation to be made for you now. If you want to post something, if you want to post that crime among certain populations is higher, if you want to post that, you know, immigration is actually not contributing to a quality of life increase for the population, if you want to post that, yeah, maybe actually school teachers don't deserve a raise, maybe government officials don't deserve a raise, you know, you're going to think twice about that. That's a calculation that people don't have to make at the moment. And because they don't have to make it, they shoot from the hip. Sometimes it's rude, sometimes it's vulgar, but it is never illegal. At least it hasn't been so far. But as we just saw with the call to prayer announcement for Regina, the Regina Police Department, instead of, you know, trying to engage with the city and saying, look, we have a population that's upset about something, correctly so, is Islam is obviously a cancer in the modern West. The police department saying, look, if you say something under these tweets or you tweet something about this, you'll be prosecuted under the enhanced hate speech laws. That's your first warning. That's your canary. It's going to get worse. And right now, if you don't have a name attached to your account, you're not thinking about that. But if you do in the future, that, that silence is mistaken for consensus by the powers that be. And, because they realize it's actually not consensus, they need to keep that silence where it is. That's, you know, yeah, that's right, right where I come down.
And if it goes retroactive to certain days,
forget like, it. You won't see me again. They'll pick me up in my house. Yeah,
there you go. And that's what I was going to say.
We'll like, both be. I'll see you in the truck. They'll probably get you, then come swing by here and grab me.
Well, at least we'll be cellmates, and we'll be able to talk to each other and talk about the good days when we're able.
My
to
daughter will have a good role model, and your daughter, our wives will become friends, and you know, maybe we can Shawshank it or something, and meet on an island.
That's a sad reality. Yeah. People are going to go dark.
Yeah.
Those accounts like the police and whatever that they're, you know, they're leaving the traditional like X, where do they go? Do they find Nirvana and Blue Sky? Or
they often do. They often do go to Blue Sky, or they put up, you know, new comms emails, or we're going to try this other social media service or whatever. But the thing is, everyone knows where the town square is. It's Elon's, you know, town square. And, you know, there's a warning shot here somewhere that people need to heed. And if you can hear it over the Islamic call to prayer, I beg you to heed that warning shot, because these things are coming for you faster and faster. It's never been more important to have a community of like-minded people around you. You're about to enter into an age where people go dark, and you are going to be, you may find yourself in a situation where you have no community. You've been sitting inside for 6 years, 7 years. You know, you went to school during COVID, you have no like social sort of ambitions, and then what? You know, that's a whole other story that we're not going to cover tonight. That's it for Access of Easy this week. If you enjoyed that, make sure to subscribe to the newsletter. Come back for more next week on YouTube. head over to ready.ca if you're worried about all these things. That's a community of people that are high agency and looking to get in touch with people of the same mind. And of course, bombthrower.com, Canadian Bitcoiners podcast, all that good stuff always available for you. Until next time, friends, take care.
Take care.